Welcome to the Teach and Tell podcast. I'm your host, Mike Raymer, Executive Director of the Georgia Council on Economic Education, an organization whose mission is to help teachers teach economics and personal finance. Come along as we spend time with some great teachers to learn more about what it's really like in the classroom. So today's guest is Sherilyn Narker, an old friend of mine who's been teaching for quite a while. Now she's back in the classroom. Sherilyn, tell us a little bit more about yourself, where you're teaching, and how long you've been teaching there.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be talking to you. I am currently at Lakeside High School in DeKalb County, and I am returning to DeKalb County as a teacher after being gone for 10 years working at the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. It's exciting to be back in the classroom. I always love teaching. And so this is my third school in DeKalb. I also taught at Columbia High School and Druid Hills High School previously.
What are you teaching these days?
This year, I am teaching economics and AP Human Geography.
Fantastic. Back, I guess it was in the summer, you used me as a reference. And the principal reached out to me and I said, hire her. I said, you'd be crazy not to hire Sherilyn. So I'm thrilled for you that you're back in the classroom. I'm sure your students are loving the fact that they have you as their teacher.
Probably some days, probably other days, I don't know. But it very much is like being a first year teacher again in many ways. You know, all the platforms are different from 10 years ago. The technology that you're using and have available to you, it's all things that have become used in the classroom since I left. So that's been exciting, but also, you know, a big learning curve.
I imagine you're spending a lot of time after work and on the weekends prepping.
Yes, especially for AP Human Geography, since that is a new course for me. It's amazing material. I love the content of it, but it is a college course and there's a lot to learn.
Sure. If I ever go back in the classroom, that's what I want to teach. I've always wanted to teach geography because I taught it a few times at regular ed, but that AP course, I like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of econ in there too.
Nice. That's good. All right. So I want to start by asking you, the most rewarding part of being a teacher, what do you think that is?
I think the most rewarding part is the ability to build trusting, collaborative relationships with students and my colleagues. For example, I think that when you're a new teacher, like I am at Lakeside this year, you don't have the benefit of a reputation that goes before you. And so it's up to you that first year in a new school to build that reputation. And I think based upon what I know from students, they need to, first of all, feel like they are cared about by the teacher that they have in front of them, that you build that reputation. They want to learn. I mean, as much as they might pretend that they don't want to learn, they do actually want to learn. And so if they cannot go out of class saying they learned something, that could be an issue in that building that trust and collaboration with them. And then finally, they need to feel like you treat them fairly and that you're always going to do what you can to help them, but they are going to have to do their part. And each one of them has that responsibility and holding each one of them to that standard. For colleagues, I would say my whole teaching style is based upon the things that I've learned from colleagues at the Georgia Council for Economic on Economic Education, from my colleagues at the Atlanta Fed and the Federal Reserve more broadly, all of the simulation-based things, the sharing of lessons and activities with other people through those networks, that's so important and a great part of being an educator.
Yeah, I think that networking is critical. Like I can imagine teaching a course that you don't share with other people. Like it's what a disservice you'd be doing to your students. And we're fortunate that we are in this network with all these great people across the country and world. Who are willing to share and help. That's great. So this is an interesting question for you as you're just back to the classroom. What do you think is the greatest challenge of being a teacher these days? And is it different from what you thought maybe back 10 years ago?
I think, and I don't know if this will be true in 2 or 3 years, but certainly the biggest challenge for me this year was becoming proficient on all the different platforms that I needed to use. So, in our county, we have one platform for our official grades and student information. We have another one for disseminating information and collecting responses from our students. We have, since I'm teaching an AP class, there's now AP Classroom, which was not something that I used teaching AP previously. So that was a lot in the very beginning. On an ongoing basis, schools and school districts are on a continuous improvement mindset, which in theory is a great, great thing, but it can be difficult to juggle all of those expectations. And as my department chair said, most teachers are rule followers. If you tell a teacher that you need to do this, they are going to try to do it. But the burnout factor is something to really keep in mind because when you try to do everything, you may not be able to do the most important things as well as you would like.
So if you could wave a magic wand and make a change to the teaching profession, what change are you going to make?
I don't know how realistic this is because
Magic wand.
I know how difficult it is for individual teachers in the classroom, but we're asked to differentiate with our students. I think one thing that could help with that issue of potential burnout is that we, as a school or as a district, differentiate for our teachers. So, how do we support teachers in the areas where they need support and not burden them in areas where they don't need support. So I'm not sure exactly how we do that. Maybe technology or AI could help us with that so that we can, focus efforts on those specific supports that we need instead of trying to give everything to everybody.
That's a good answer. If you find an answer to that, share it with us. You get that figured out so we can make
Will
it.
do, will do.
Yeah.
That's my next project.
Just put it on your list. Do you have a single favorite teaching memory? You've been, in the classroom for a few years in totality of your career, but can you just narrow it down to one?
This is a tough thing because any teacher knows that there are so many things that you remember. I think what kept coming back to me over the years, something that I just always felt full in my heart. I used to teach. Every school has their challenges, but I taught in a school early in my career that I think most people would say was had a lot of the challenges of an urban school that has a lot of students in poverty. I started the AP Economics program at that school. And as anyone who has tried to build a program knows, it's tough to encourage students to take a class, especially something that they really don't know much about or have never heard of. And so over 3 year period, I was encouraging more and more students from across the entire school, hey, you've got to take econ anyway. Why don't you take AP Econ? Just give it a shot. What do you have to lose? You got to take this class. You might as well try to get college credit. So I had students of all different ability levels in my AP classes. And I remember the summer after my 3rd year of AP, I got a call from one of my students, and he was practically in tears. And he had gotten a 5 on both AP Micro and AP Macro. And he told me, Ms. Narker, I never, ever thought that I could even do well in an AP class, much less get 5s on these exams. I can't believe it. And, that memory is so important to me because it just shows me that we should not be trying to limit students in these advanced classes, that people can discover that they have these abilities, and that we should encourage as many students as possible to have these experiences. And I will say that that young man is now a very successful engineer, so he has really done well for himself.
So when he called you that day, how long afterwards were you walking on cloud nine?
For quite a while. He's a wonderful student. That whole class was very, very special to me. They were amazing. They also, most of them were on my academic decathlon team. So it was just a great group of students who I remember individually, most of them.
Nice. So if you're listening, you're like a five. What's that? So that a five in the AP test is as high as you can get.
Yes,
That's the
that's
top score.
correct.
So that's great. So eventually you're going to retire someday, whether it's another 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. What do you think is going to be your last lesson before you hang it up for good? What do you want to teach that day, that period?
Okay, so I'm going to cheat since I know that if I'm teaching economics, this would probably not be my last lesson of the year because I know how the course goes. But I like a lot of movement and focused noise in my classroom. So I would probably end on some sort of market simulation where kids are running around buying and selling and yelling with purpose.
Yes, those market lessons are they're home runs every single time. It's the lesson where like a coworker comes in and says, "What is going on in here?" And I would always answer, "Learning's going on in here." Yes. Next question I want to ask you, it's about a technology or a resource, and I guess you probably are the best person to answer this right now as you're back into the classroom for the first time in 10 years. Can you think of a resource that maybe some other new teacher, first year teacher doesn't know about that you think will help them excel in their classroom?
Well, I know that from my years of teaching and doing this, that and this is not a plant. I truly feel this way, that the number one place that I got the best resources was from going to the Georgia Council on Economic Education's workshops. They were ready-made lessons, and we did them in the workshops ourselves so that we knew what it felt like as students. And they were at no cost to the teachers that attended the workshops. And I would encourage everyone to attend. I think right now, like if you're teaching econ for the first time, it would be the high school economics and personal finance workshop. I am trying to find a time that I can go. I'm afraid to be gone my first year of teaching.
I understand that.
But all of the workshops that I've gone to and the resources have been amazing.
No, thanks for the plug. Yeah, I mean, I wish there was an organization like us for every subject matter.
Yes,
It would be great.
yes.
And it seems so basic and like, yeah, that sounds like it would help, and it does help.
It
I
does.
myself, I'm a product of Georgia Council workshops, and I know it saved me in the classroom totally. All right, so I'm going to end this, Sherilyn, by asking you the all-important Hollywood movie question. Someday, when Hollywood, which is basically all in Atlanta now, when they come knocking on your door to make a movie about your teaching career, your famed teaching career, who's going to play Sherilyn Narker on the big screen and why?
All right. So I would say that it depends upon what period of my career. So I would say if it is going to be someone at where I am right now in my career, I think Sandra Bullock. She has a similar energy to me. She is brave and will take risks, at least her characters. I don't know her, obviously. I just know that.
Let's assume
But she
she's that way
also
off.
is kind of quiet. And I tend to be on the quiet side, just being very, observant. I'm going to go crazy on the, like, if it was my younger person, because I think she's a nerd and I think I'm a nerd. We're going to go with Taylor Swift.
Nice.
Because
Okay. That would be if that movie would make $80 billion.
I think that she would have a lot of movement in her classes. I like a lot of movement in my classes. And like I said, she's a nerd and
That works for me.
a
All
good
right.
businesswoman. So
Oh.
she would be good to teach economics.
Yes, fantastic business person. I mean, she's phenomenal. What a year she's having and what year she had last year. All right, so Sherilyn Narker, I want to thank you for joining us on the Teach and Tell podcast. And more importantly, I want to thank you for being an outstanding educator, an outstanding teacher, an outstanding person. You and I have done a lot of workshops together with teachers, and I miss being out on the road in far off places all over Georgia delivering workshops to teachers. Some of the happiest times of my professional career. So it's great to see you again. I look forward to seeing, or we look forward to seeing you at a next, at a future Georgia Council workshop. And best of luck with the rest of the school year.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's such a pleasure to be with you. I love the fact that you invited me to do this. It's so much fun, and I am very much looking forward to my next Georgia Council workshop.
Boom, perfect. All right, we'll see you soon.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Teach and Tell podcast. Help us spread the word and promote great teachers by giving us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm Mike Raymer, and I'm here to remind you that econ is life.